Buongiorno a tutti, sono Jens Hansen, Investor Relations di Hera.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jens Hansen, Investor Relations at Hera. Welcome to the business plan presentation for Hera Group, and let me immediately give the floor to our Executive Chairman, Mr. Christian Fabbri. Thank you, Jens. Good afternoon, everybody. As usual, we'll begin our presentation with a forecast regarding our 2024 results, which we went over during our board meeting and which also approved our business plan. As far as EBITDA is concerned, our estimates give us a forecast for 2024, which is above 1.55 billion euros, a very positive result, we feel. Also, given where we started in 2023 with the best growth in our history, plus 200 million compared to the previous year, and also considering the fact that within these results, we also included 100 million euros for the most part linked to the super eco bonus, which, as you know, expired in late 2023 and which therefore could not contribute to 2024. Now, the results we looked over together on a quarter-by-quarter basis show that our organic growth was such, and it was able to completely offset the expiry of that contribution of the super eco bonus, so much so, in fact, that at the end of the year, we have a growth which is over 50 million euros more compared to the previous year. Therefore, we fully offset the lack of the super eco bonus contribution. Now, these results also exceed the expectations of the consensus regarding the forecast for our results. We also did very well from the financial standpoint. Our growth is up by 1.5%, and our financial results are in line with last year. They're below 2.6 times in terms of the leverage, and they're also below expectations. Now, where do these results stem from? Well, in fact, they prove our group's ability to be very efficient when it comes to execution. And therefore, these numbers also prove the soundness, the strength of the targets that we had given ourselves in the previous business plan. Now, moving on to the contents of the business plan itself, we want to confirm our strategy. Last year's strategy was based on three pillars. The first is to create shared value. And you may remember that these three pillars are value creation, with a focus on the profitability of our businesses, and with a good financial flexibility. We also want to be sustainable. We want to create sustainable value, a value that can lead to economic benefits, but also positive results in terms of reaching the UN sustainability targets. We want to enhance resilience. That is one of the characteristics we have in a very broad sense. In other words, our business portfolio and the way we manage each business can allow us to have low impacts from external macro events. And therefore, that is certainly one of the main themes behind the development of this business plan. Now, let's start focusing on some of the outputs of the business plan, and let's try to understand the way in which we've developed our strategic levers. Now, you may remember the previous business plan had measured value creation by measuring the difference between the sector's WACC and the ROI spread, 370 basis points. With this business plan, we expect to reach 400 basis points at the end of the business plan period, which means that we're improving compared to the previous business plan. And we have an average TSR over the period equal to 11%, with a balanced growth stemming from the growth in earnings and also in terms of the average yield, the dividend per share yield, which, as we'll be seeing later, will improve as well. When it comes to sustainability, we focus our investments by identifying on four main areas, namely decarbonization, circular economy, resilience, and innovation. And we have a very strong focus on everything which brings value by being sustainable. Now, 96% of our investments are in line with EU taxonomy. What that means is that we have seen an increase in our EBITDA, which also offers sustainability benefits. Therefore, shared value goes from 62 to 66% in terms of its penetration in the business plan. Now, moving on to the way we manage risk and the approach we have to managing risk. From this slide, you'll notice that our approach is based on managing a multi-utility and multi-business portfolio, a portfolio we're continuing to develop in a balanced way, but it's also brought about by the way we manage each and every business, even the ones which aren't protected by tariff schemes vis-a-vis the macros, with a very strong attention to external impacts. We're not seeing impacts from inflation, from interest rates, as you saw during the energy crisis. We don't see impacts stemming from the change in energy prices. As far as climate change is concerned, even in the territories we operate in recent years, we've had to deal with very significant climate events without ever stopping the service we offer to our customers and without ever damaging excessively our plans. When it comes to economic cyclicality, we fear, due to the way in which we manage our business and given the competitive advantage we have in our businesses, we see a very negligible impact on our businesses. As you know, we also operate in very fragmented markets, which is an opportunity rather than a risk for us, because as you know, over the years, we have consolidated plenty of companies in our growth process. When it comes to ESG and EU regulations, even here, it's more of an opportunity than a risk, since we were one of the front runners in considering ESG as a business model, and we're now benefiting from that approach, which has very deep roots in our past. Now, moving on more specifically to some figures regarding EBITDA. And let's begin by looking at some of its details. In this slide, we're referring to 2023 without the contribution of the super eco bonus, which has expired. We're already offsetting that expiry difference. It's no longer part of our references. And what we see is a structural growth worth 475 million with a CAGR worth 7%. All of this is based on two main pillars, the traditional ones. Organic growth on the one hand, which is the activity that we generate most of our contribution from. And to that, of course, we have to add M&A, which contributes with roughly 100 million. And this amount is, in fact, the average of what we're able to achieve over the five-year period. That is the value we tend to include in our growth plan. And therefore, in a very fragmented market, this is what we expect to achieve. Each and every week, of course, we look over plenty of files. Many are scrapped. Some we focus on. And as you know, we conclude M&A transactions every year. Now, by building this growth, we can obviously consider the opportunities from the market, and we can choose to ignore the last resort market tenders, which, as you know, happen every year. In our business plan, we tend to include only the things which are visible. And since these last resort market tenders have happened every 2 years, we decided to ignore them for the time being. This is a conservative approach, of course. Certainly, we wouldn't be able to achieve the results we had in 2023. We had the energy prices back then, and we had many customers who had lost their suppliers. And therefore, we saw a very high growth in volumes and broader margins compared to what we had seen traditionally in that business, which brings us to a 1.7 billion euro target at the end of the business plan period. And as far as EBIT is concerned, we're expecting a further growth. And we'll be seeing in a few slides that our target is to continue to increase the profitability of our business. And of course, when it comes to measuring ROI, our goal is to focus while we go down the lines with a more intense growth. And we'll see that in a more intense way in the EBIT CAGR. We'll be seeing the major benefits we'll be seeing, also including less provisions compared to the past. That is also the result of energy prices, which are lower compared to the ones we've seen in recent years. And this, of course, allows us to have broader growth and broader strength, broader solidity as far as EBITDA is concerned. This year, we decided to add a slide because, as you saw yesterday, we signed an agreement regarding an M&A transaction, a consolidation transaction in the multi-utility business. IMAG is a miniature Hera, basically. They are located on the border with the Modena province, and we went up from a 25% stake that we already had in the company to a 41% stake. Now, the important thing to note is that in this phase, we are taking over the industrial management of the company. The meaning of this is that given the fact that we operate in neighboring territories and that we have the same business portfolio, we'll be able to obtain the maximum level of synergies with management control and with consolidation of the company. This isn't a form of growth that we paid for in cash. There was no cash out. This is a transaction that was agreed upon with an asset swap. We gave them 45% of a company we're setting up, a joint venture that we're setting up that will include all of the water assets in the Modena province. This transaction will allow us to obtain synergies, of course. We'll be able to rationalize the water network between the network managed by IMAG and the network that we manage in the province, and therefore there will be plenty of space to obtain synergies compared to the traditional ones we have in management and in cost-cutting activities. Now, how did we evaluate the two companies? Well, the IMAG evaluation was worth 7 times the multiple, and the evaluation of the assets and the company, the joint venture we're setting up, was made at 1.2 times the RAB, since this is an entity that will deal with the water service exclusively. Let's have a look at the IMAG numbers. Their 2023 EBITDA is worth some 60 million, with a target in its standalone plan to 2028 worth 77 million, which can be developed through the development of a portfolio which is more regulated than ours. Roughly 50% of their contribution comes from networks, 20% from waste, and 30% from the energy business. With a financial position at the end of 2023 worth 210 million euros. Some of the parameters and industrial KPIs that can give you an idea. The RAB in networks is 210 million. The waste volumes managed are equal to 200,000 tons, and 230,000 customers are the ones managed by Synergas, which is the IMEX supply company. We did not include IMEX figures in the business plan. We have kept the 100 million euro EBITDA target as far as M&A is concerned. Obviously, this transaction gives us a very good visibility up front of our very positive M&A levels. Let's move on to the structured growth with the business by business breakdown. Our goal is to have a balanced portfolio. At the end of the business plan period, you'll see that all businesses contribute to EBITDA by one third. And the growth we're seeing in this business plan is also very balanced, both in terms of network and waste and energy. The main drivers, the main growth drivers, are very, very straightforward, also in terms of their impact. When it comes to networks, the RAB enhancement linked to the investment plan we'll be seeing shortly is one of the drivers, indeed. The WACC increase is another one of the drivers. And this growth, of course, refers to 2023 year-end figures with a major growth, which also gave us already gave us visibility on the upcoming years. As far as waste is concerned, in this business, we want to expand our assets, our industrial assets. We are leaders, and we want to further strengthen our leadership. And at the same time, we also want to develop the market by leveraging on our competitive advantages. In waste, we will continue looking at M&A opportunities besides what IMAG already contributes to that growth. In energy, we have a 177 million euro growth based on three main axes. The first is recovering the shaping costs, which had added costs in 2023 by reducing the group's margins. And this recovery is an optimization of costs, which is something that we have already achieved in 2024. Then we also have a focus on commercial development and the full taking full advantage of our SDG customers. But there are other, also other things, as we'll be seeing later. So we'll continue to grow with a balanced portfolio, and that is one of the reasons behind our constant growth track record for the past 20 years. Now, let's move on to four slides that give us a flavor of our capital allocation strategy, investments. Why do we have four slides? Well, because when we want to define how much to invest and what to invest in, we worked by taking three main goals into account. The first target was to continue having a balanced growth in our business portfolio. The second target was to continue having profitability. And in fact, we wanted to increase the profitability of our business portfolio in an integrated way. The third reason was to continue having a good level of financial flexibility so as to be able to take advantage of any possible market opportunities, both for organic growth and for M&A. We decided to have a net investment plan, which don't consider the contributions we receive externally from the recovery plan or from other institutions. And that accounts to 4.6 billion. That also includes 500 million euro contributions. And there's also a value that we have embedded in the figures that we're presenting to you, because all of the initiatives that are financed by external contributions, whatever they are used on the free market, they offer a full contribution, whereas on the regulated market, they offer a contribution in terms of efficiency and operations. Now, let's see the way in which these 4.6 billion are going to be allocated in our investment plan. 2.2 billion, less than 50%, will be focused on the maintenance of our infrastructure, whereas 2.4 billion will be focused on development. In order to maintain this portfolio balance, We allocated 60% of our development to the regulated business because 60% is roughly the amount of our invested capital which refers to those businesses. And therefore, more specifically, 1.3 billion to networks, and then a part goes to the waste collection service. The other significant portion of the CapEx is dedicated to the development of market businesses, and that includes liberalized part of waste and energy. The next slide gives us a flavor of where our financial resources come from and how they'll be allocated. It gives us an idea of how we'll be managing our portfolio mix. Now, let's begin from the more general numbers. After having paid for the maintenance investments, we have a an overall free cash flow for the three businesses worth 3 billion. 2.4 billion will be devoted to development, and the remaining part will be financing most of the dividends we'll be distributing. As for the how did we manage the business policies? Well, in the waste business, they lead to 900 million in terms of free cash flow for the business plan period. 700 million were allocated to development. But in reality, if we consider that this is where most of the M&A comes in, from the financial standpoint, we also have to consider the debt included stemming from M&A, which means that we reinvest 100% of the cash generated through waste. Energy. Energy is a capital-intensive business. It generates a major part of our overall free cash flow, roughly 50% of it. But since it's a capital-intensive business, even when it comes to development, it has a lower investment requirement. Therefore, if we don't consider the development investments, we have 1 billion euros, which we used mostly to speed up our growth in the networks business. In fact, if we move on to networks, we'll see how this business area will generate a 700 million free cash flow. But to this area of business, we've allocated 1.3 billion for development. Therefore, the fact that we have a multi-business integrated portfolio allows us to grow more quickly, even in regulated businesses, compared to the free cash flow that it would generate independently. And this, of course, as we'll be seeing, will lead to a 36% growth in RAB compared to the beginning of the business plan. Another one of our goals is to increase the profitability of our portfolio. You may remember that our strategic development axis focuses on creating value, and therefore from the industrial standpoint, measuring this value creation is linked to ROI and its spread with WACC. ROI moves from 8.7% to 9.5% with an 80 basis point growth, and it is supported both by the mix of the invested capital in each business, but it also stems from the growth and profitability that we develop within the businesses, especially when it comes to networks or waste collection. We have a return, a regulatory return, which is growing. And when it comes to waste treatment, we have a major growth and profitability, which is linked to the two policies that Orazio will be explaining, which refer to the growth of our asset portfolio and the growth of our commercial portfolio by leveraging on our characteristics and our competitive advantage in terms of the assets we have and in terms of our offers on the circular economy. Energy supply, typically it has a 20% profitability. It's decreasing slightly, despite the fact that we did not consider the last resort markets here. And this reduction is also linked to a normalization effect in terms of margins, also vis-a-vis some of the elements that we were beginning with. The other important element in this slide is that not only are we increasing ROI, but we're also including the net invested capital by 2 billion, from 7.7 billion to 9.7 billion. And therefore, the space to create value lies in the ROI difference and the fact that we added a further 2 billion of invested capital to a 9.5% ROI.
Arriviamo con l'ultima slide.
And with this last slide, we move on to our capital allocation choices, which show where we stand in terms of our leverage. At the end of the business plan, we'll stand at 2.8 times, which gives us a further potential growth in terms of leverage we can use compared to our historic numbers. It's plus 0.5, which gives us the possibility of further growing to have a sizable financial flexibility, which we can then be used for any potential opportunities linked both to external growth, with a goal of obviously having a growth that can be integrated with our businesses and which could lead to synergies in terms of costs and further development. And we also have to make sure that we're focused on our core businesses and the territories neighboring ours, or with a focus on organic growth elements, because in this business plan, we have inserted projects that have already been authorized, and therefore, if further authorizations are received, we can look into them with our leverage. In a nutshell, we've seen our strategic paths, we've seen the evolution of our EBITDA and how we will choose to allocate our investments, and now we'll look at the effects on the bottom line. First of all, let's begin by EPS. Earnings per share have a 6% CAGR. They have improved compared to the ones in the previous business plan, which proves that the target we had of bringing the highest possible level of value to the bottom line and to improve it compared to the previous business plan is more than obvious from this slide. 2024 is a year that we are ending in a very positive way, both from the economic standpoint and from the financial standpoint. And along with an improvement of the earnings we'll be making in the next few years, made it very easy for us to offer a guidance to our board of directors as far as dividends are concerned. We expect to increase the dividend we'll be paying in June this year by 7% compared to what we offered in 2024. This is the growth that we applied to the entire years of the business plan. We've increased the floor all the way up to 17 cents in 2028.
Adesso entriamo in questa logica di drill down progressivo sulle determinanti.
With this drill down approach, let's now go into the growth drivers, beginning with energy. We are now stably the third largest player on the Italian market. We have a 4.7 million users, customers, and we have excellent feedback from our customers once we acquire them. Last year, we were awarded 7 lots, as you may remember, in the SDG sector. Now, the main asset in this sector is, of course, the evolution of our customer base. On the left-hand side of the slide here, you have an idea of our track record. We moved from 700,000 customers to 3.5 million customers in 2022, and we're now up to 4.7 million customers in September 2024, with an increase in customers, the effect of which was the increase of our market share. Now, in a market in which the number of customers is stable, the fact that we had such a large growth in our customer base allowed us to move up from a 1% market share to 8% in our position, and we have consolidated our presence as the third player on the market. Now, what were the competitive advantages and strategic levers that allowed us to achieve these levels? Well, the churn rate we have is lower compared to the market average. That was certainly one of the elements which allowed us to increase our customer base and to achieve a major level of value creation, because most of our commercial growth turns into a growth in customer base, not offsetting those customers who left us to move to other players. Now, what are the recipes that allowed us to get here? Well, first of all, the multi-business management of customers. When it comes to energy, of course, or gas and electricity, but in territories in which we have all four businesses, we can offer them all four services. And this has an advantage for CRM and for billing. It's also an advantage for customers, and it gives us a competitive advantage. Now, in our growth, we have always focused on a growth that could intensify our presence on our local territories instead of achieving small market shares in a broader territory. And this has allowed us to be very efficient in our commercial development, but it's also allowed us to benefit from the local relationship we have and the local presence we have. And we intensify our efforts. We have a physical presence. We have physical shops. And we also have an approach to the local institutions, which allow us to be credited to operate in that territory. Now, the choice we made of being very local, very locally oriented, has to also be considered with the scale we've achieved, which allows us to be very competitive in terms of costs and very efficient in terms of the services we offer our customers. And in terms of the CRM we offer, we have a network made up of over 200 physical shops, and we also have digital shops. And customers have a very high perception when it comes to the quality of the service we offer. In fact, it's difficult to exceed what we already achieve. I've already mentioned that we have a strong local penetration. These are the main drivers that have allowed us to grow. Now, the other element that we can see on this slide is our EBITDA story, the red line you can see on the graph. The growth of EBITDA was mainly linked to the growth of our customer base. You'll see that there is a very strong correlation between the two curves on the graph. And this correlation is entirely independent from the price track. Our EBITDA moves with the customer increase and is not impacted by price fluctuation. Based on all this, based on our competitive advantage and the industrial relations we've set up, let's see what we have in mind for the business plan. On July 1st, as I was saying, we added a further 1 million customers in SDG. We went up from 3.8 million customers to 4.7 million customers overnight. That was the effect of the tender we were awarded. And it also means that the focus over the next few years, as we're seeing at the business plan, is a focus on managing this major growth. And we want to replace those customers who will naturally choose another supplier during the SDG market. But we also want to offset the last resort market who will be looking for an adequate commercial development. Furthermore, in our 4.5 million customer target, we've also included the 200 customers that will be receiving mid-year with the closure of the IMAG transaction. Therefore, we'll continue to leverage on our competitive advantage so that we can consolidate our customer base over the next few years.
che riflessi ha.
Now let's see the effects of the strategy on margins.
Se guardate l'EBITDA, la crescita che abbiamo visto prima,
if you look at the EBITDA, the structural growth we saw earlier was worth 177 million.
No, come dicevo, di più che compensare,
and it allows us to more than offset the expiry of the last resort markets, which we did not include in the 2028 figures to be conservative. This is a growth which is supported by five axes. One of the most significant contributions comes from the recovery in shaping costs. Therefore, in 2023, price fluctuation led to a growth in shaping costs, and therefore, with the same price paid for the customers, our margins were reduced. Now, this volatility has decreased, but what we did especially was we implemented a more risk-averse policy, also in terms of shaping costs, and therefore, even were a similar phenomenon to repeat itself, we would have a lower impact. And therefore, this part of our margin recovery is a major portion of the growth we want to achieve. We also have a part which is linked to commercial activities. We have to be able to profit from our growth in SDG. We have to be able to manage our commercial activities, which allow us to offset SDG customers leaving us, which gives us another piece of our structural growth. Then we have value-added services. In 2022 and 2023, we had a strong growth in VASs, but that was a context in which the super eco bonus made it easier to offer these services. Now that the super eco bonus has expired, what we're left with is our customers' strong desire to decarbonize their consumption and to reduce energy costs by reducing consumption. And this leads us to all of the proposals, all of the offers we have, and that we want to further enhance for the business plan in all sectors, from the retail sector to major corporations to condominiums and the public administration. And we want to work both on public lighting and on efficiency and building management. And as far as companies are concerned, we want to become a partner with them. We want to be the energy partner for these customers. We want to be the ones who manage energy in their production sites so that companies can focus on their core business, leaving it up to us to focus on our core business with long-term partnerships with them. When it comes to generation, we are continuing in our growth in renewables, especially in the photovoltaic sector, and we're doing this very carefully. We are focusing on origination, which means that we want to hold on to the entire value of the value chain. And we also want to continue improving the relations with our customers. We want to work on consumption centers. We want to make sure that this production is offered to our proximity customers so that we can protect them from price volatility when you are exposed to market prices, especially in a future in which we'll have an increasing amount of renewables and therefore the hours in which these prices are set lower levels can be larger and with a more negative impact, and therefore we want to stabilize the profitability of this activity. In a nutshell, therefore, this growth is supported by different levers which can give us a significant contribution and which show that compared to 2023, we've had an increase in our customer base by 700,000, which is one of the drivers which contributes to our organic development. Last year, during our business plan presentation, we had announced that we had acquired 1 million customers. We had explained the model to you. And now, let me just tell you where we stand 1 year down the line and after 6 months in which we've been managing this portfolio. You may remember that we had chosen to acquire these customers by offering tariff discounts, which will lead to a monthly cost to serve without any upfront payments. Typically, you pay your commercial structures in M&A, you pay upfront when you buy a company or their customers. In this case, we want to leave part of our margin to the customers with the awareness that beginning in, on the 1st of April 2027, all these customers would automatically move to free market offers with new services and new activities and with margin levels that would be consistent with these new offers. And our evaluation of the stage was that this was going to be an investment. It would be consistent with our sector's ROI, and these were the bidding hypotheses we made. What we discovered over these first 6 months is that things are even better than expected, because what we're seeing is that customers are much more loyal than we thought they would be. And the relationship we've set up with these customers over the past 6 months is one which leads them to being very satisfied with our service, with excellent quality, with no problems in terms of receiving their billings, with terms of CRM. We checked with them to verify their data. And therefore, in just a matter of months, the awareness in our new customer base is better than we expected. And these customers are better payers than what we expected. And even in terms of their interest vis-a-vis different offers or new services, we're seeing that the returns are much better than expected. And even the slight rebound in energy prices we're seeing today leads many of these customers to ask for fixed price rates or a mix of fixed and variable prices to protect themselves. So things are better than what we were forecasting and what we had embedded in our bidding forecast. Let me give the floor to Orazio, who will be giving us an update on waste and networks. Thank you, Kristen, and good afternoon. Let me begin with our certainties. The business plan was drafted by building on the certainties we have. When it comes to waste, we are the Italian market leaders. We have a very large and diversified number of plants, which allows us to deal with any kind of customer and with any kind of waste. What this means is that we have a very strong presence on the market, and we are capable of solving any problem our customers may have. And in fact, we don't wait for them to come to our door. We go out and search for them. This is a very strong commercial appeal we have. It has supported us over the years, and it will continue supporting our growth in the future. It's something which gives us plenty of room to further operate on the market. Secondly, you certainly remember that the Italian market is an interesting market. It's a closed market. It's marked by undercapacity when it comes to waste treatment, especially in terms of the low number of waste energies, but even landfills, which are needed to close the loop. Therefore, the assets we have and our commercial abilities when it comes to customers and our ability to relate to international partners, because we always have to remember that this is a competitive market, all of this makes us very attractive competitively, and it gives us an advantage. And thanks to our competitive advantage, we were also able to develop our leadership when it comes to plastic recycling, which is another sector we are leaders in. We offer the top of the line products. We are leaders in recovering. This is a market which is constantly expanding, as we're seeing from the megatrends, which are supported by international regulatory framework, which continues to evolve towards a market characterized by recovery and by recycling. In January this year, the Single-Use Plastic Directive came into force, and that requires having 25% recycled plastic and beverage packaging beginning in 2025. Another thing I'd like to mention is that we operate in a fragmented market, and we are the market leaders. There are plenty of other smaller players, which means that step by step we can acquire new companies, which gives us plenty of room to further expand. These are our foundations, therefore, and if we move on to the following page, what we're seeing is that we have a plan with very visible targets, with an EBIT growth worth 7%, which is supported by a further increase in our market share. The volumes treated grow at a 5% rate, which means that we are expanding our market share. You'll notice that volumes are up, will be going up 5%, CAGR will be going up 7%, and our development is supported by other axes as well. These include efficiency, services, the global waste management approach we have, which is linked to an increasing demand for circular economy models. Now, this structural growth allows us to offset the non-recurring opportunities we had seen in 2023, opportunities which were linked to the energy crisis, and which we were easily able to reabsorb during the business plan years without ever interrupting the growth in our profitability. Now, all of this growth and profitability is supported by a major amount of development capex, 700 million euros. And it's a way of reinvesting all of the financial resources we generated. As you heard from the chairman, we are using all of the financial resources generated in the waste business, and we're reinvesting them back into the business. This is a way of financing both our organic growth and our external growth. But that's not it. We also want to grow through partnerships. These are partnerships that we describe as being resilient because they are not exposed to market fluctuations. Some time ago, we had mentioned the partnership we had with Fincantieri, and we signed the deal a few days ago. We set up a new co, which will be led by Hera, and this too will allow us to manage waste in a sustainable way. And we truly are the only ones who can offer this kind of a service, because not only do we manage urban waste, but we also manage industrial waste. Let's move on to the focus of this business on the following page. All of this is, of course, supported by a very strong competitive advantage. As you can see, we have a very broad market we can serve. As you can see from the graph on the left-hand side, we have a 10% market share with plenty of room to grow. And we can grow through a number of different approaches. We can certainly make or build our plants, but we can also take over companies through M&A, since the market is very fragmented. There are over 200 small companies operating in the market. And this approach is the same one we've had over the years. And our track record proves that we can achieve this kind of growth, and we'll continue doing so. The second item is recovery, recycling. We've tried something a little different here. We compete with major players, but we have a competitive advantage given our ability to offer
a very diversified
solutions, which means that we have a strong market share, roughly 20%, but again, there's plenty of room to grow. We have a competitive advantage and plenty of uncharted territory that we can explore, including rigid plastics or low-density PE, new food. And more recently, we also started operating in carbon fiber regeneration. And we began focusing on this market niche very recently, and it's certainly something that we want to continue to expand. Now, all this is possible because when it comes to this expansion, we are guaranteed by European regulation, which requires 25% recycled PET in beverage containers beginning this year.
Del 25%,
whereas the previous figure was 11%. And of course, from this point of view, we want to be the front runners as far as these megatrends are concerned. We've invested and we will continue to invest. On the slide here, you can see some of our plants. We have the Novara plant, for example, where we'll be doubling our size. The third topic is refers to another great experience that we've had, the ACR company, which we made the acquisition of in 2023, which is doing wonderfully well. And this transaction allowed us to add another offer to our business portfolio. We have a more than 10% market share here with a huge upside here. We have mapped over 13,000 sites which have to be remedied in Italy, and plenty of a national recovery fund resources have been allocated. So this is a very interesting and swift market, and these activities will have to be completed by 2027. And I also wish to mention the Brazilian partnerships that we have already signed. You can see some of them here on the screen. We have ENI Rewind, Green Thesis, and Edison. These are resilient partnerships because they aren't subject to market fluctuation. And in this, with these partnerships, we'll be looking at remediation and treatment. And as we mentioned, the Fincantieri partnership, let me just say that this is a stream we want to continue expanding because there is a major level of value that we can achieve. Therefore, we want to continue focusing on oil and gas, along with other markets such as agri-food, home care, and pharmaceuticals. Now, with these competitive advantages in mind, and with such a fragmented and attractive market, our strategy is clear. We want to expand our market share, and that's why we will support this growth by reinvesting all of our cash flow, almost 1 billion euros in M&A and with the organic development of our plans, by creating value with an attractive return on the invested capital, which is equal to 14% in the unregulated businesses. Let's move on to networks now. Even here, let me give you an idea of what our ID is. We are we're a major industrial player with a robust investment plan. We are very healthy when it comes to our infrastructure. And as far as quality goes, we are the market leaders, especially when it comes to water quality. We have been certified as being the water market leaders, as certified by the National Authority last year. We have developed new technologies that can allow us to increase our ability to extract efficiencies. We have a very solid and high-quality infrastructure. And therefore, our business plan is focusing on a major development of our infrastructure. We want to continue developing. We want to go up to 4.5 billion euros RAB in 2028. With a very solid capex plan. And this development plan will allow us to improve our investments in infrastructure, making them more sustainable, with more resilient infrastructure that can deal with all the transitions we face, beginning with the energy transition. This will also lead to greater economic efficiency. And in Italy, we have a reliable regulator with a very good track record, which means that this business is very protected. And I'd like to remind you of the fact that the National Authority reviewed the WACC, increasing it in 2023. Therefore, this is a business which is protected from all economic macros and from climate change. We are resilient. We have proven to be resilient, as the chairman was saying earlier, even during the most recent extreme weather events. What are our targets? Moving on to the following slide. What margins are we looking at? Margins are increasing very much, with plus 155 million euros, bringing us up to 621 million, with a 6% CAGR. This is a growth supported not just by a major growth in CAPEX, with 1.3 billion in development capex, but it's also supported by the authority's WACC review, which is up compared to 2023. We have set some very visible targets. All of the businesses will contribute to the organic growth of margins, as you can see on the chart on the left-hand side. This growth will be supported by a major amount of CAPEX, which are entirely recognized in the RAB without any caps as far as tariffs are concerned, so we can then increase the margins of this business. And to all that, we also have to mention external growth, because this year, as Christian was saying, thanks to the IMAG agreement, we already have a very high visibility. 50% of their business is in networks, and therefore, with that agreement, we will enrich our presence of the business. And on the right-hand side of the page, you already have a figure which refers to the to how much IMAG is worth. But besides the growth in WACC, we also have efficiency, which will be improving our results. Now we have a track record which supports that. We will improve the reduction of water leakages. We'll be improving the way we treat
puntiamo alla distrettualizzazione, puntiamo anche a
polluted water. We want to
preparare le reti sempre di più attraverso l'idrogeno e
prepare our networks to deal with hydrogen blends.
Fare in modo che le reti siano pronte ad accogliere.
We want to make sure that our networks will be able to
ci saranno evoluzioni prossimamente, ma
use green gases, and we'll be seeing some very positive news shortly as far as we're concerned.
And
the highlight here is efficiency, of course. We are always able to outperform the regulatory standards as proven by our track record, as we've seen in recent years. Let me conclude by a focus regarding the evolution of RAB for each business.
Riportato appunto in crescita non solo quindi per gli investimenti la RAB,
we have
ma anche
growth,
per
not just in terms of investments,
IMAG, come ho detto prima, di 240
and also given the IMAG contribution with 240 million in. Therefore the RAB we own will be worth 4.5 billion at the end of the business plan period, moving up from the 3.3 billion we had in 2023. Most of the RAB growth will happen at the water service with an 800 million euro growth up from 1.8 to 2.6 billion. This RAB is up due to the effect of the WACC, which in 2024 and 2025 will be equal to 6.1%, whereas for the remaining business plan years, we have expected 40 bips less, and therefore conservatively in water we're already seeing we've already considered a reduction which the authority still hasn't decided on. Therefore we're simply dealing with the hypothesis that water will have the same effects we've seen in energy. In gas, we went up from 1.1 billion to 1.4 billion RAB. 1.4 is what we expect to achieve in 2028. This RAB is going to 6.5% WACC in 2024 and 2025 and 5.9% of the remaining business plan years as a consequence of the ARERA review. And let me conclude by mentioning electricity. From here, we expect to have a slight 300 million euro growth, or 100 million from 400 million to 0.5 billion in 2028. This RAB is remunerated at 6% in 2024 and 5.6% for the remaining years of the business plan. So let me just conclude.
Noi la definiamo un po' la cassaforte del nostro portafoglio di business.
This is the safe in our business portfolio. As you know, our networks are fully regulated and they contribute very much to growth in this business plan, giving a major level of visibility to all of the growth drivers, also including the part relating to M&A. Thank you very much, and let me give the floor over to our chairman. Thank you. We've reached the end of our presentation. Let me just conclude with a couple of remarks before I give you the floor. We began with our forecast, which shows the good position we're in, both in terms of our economic growth and in terms of the low financial lever. We also mentioned the news regarding IMAG, which we had already explained in the first few pages of the presentation. That transaction gives us good visibility regarding the M&A contribution, and it's a contribution, of course, which will not stop with IMAG. We also mentioned that our value creation strategy can be summed up with a 11% average TSR, and we also showed the good performances we had in 2024 and in the growth of our business plan targets, which will allow us to increase our dividend policy with an immediate effect and with a growth which will continue throughout the business plan till we can reach 17 cents per share in 2028. Keep in mind that this is a floor, this is a guarantee when it comes to dividends. And we still have good financial flexibility, which is, of course, something that can allow us to look into further opportunities. Thank you, and let me open up the floor for any questions you may have. I try to keep it short to leave you as much time as possible for some Q&A. I know that you were tired following the SNAM presentation yesterday. Over to you.
Our
first question is by Emanuele Ogioni, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Grazie, buonasera a tutti.
Thank you and good evening, everybody. I have a few questions for you.
Sento un eco, se possibile.
There seems to be a slight echo.
Grazie. Dunque, prima di tutto, una domanda sulla sul piano.
So let me begin with a question on the business plan and on the 400 basis points growth, value creation, which is up compared to the previous business plan.
C'è un ritorno inferiore nelle attività regolate.
We know that there's a lower return in regulated activities.
And
from one of the slides, I seem to understand that the main driver is waste, especially non-regulated waste. So we have waste treatment with a return on invested capital, which goes up from 10% in 2023 to almost 14% in 2028. I imagine that's the main driver, but I'd like to understand
quello che vi ha spinto, insomma, a migliorare questo target.
What pushed you to improve the value creation target? And what drivers, what projects are the ones with the most value compared to a year ago, compared to the previous business plans? My second question is on slide 16, the growth of EBITDA you expect for the SGG service. Can you explain what return rate you're expecting also compared to the numbers last year, which was about 50%, so it was a pretty high level. And I'm assuming that figure is lower now. And what are the growth drivers for EBITDA in that business? And one final question refers to the more recent news, not the business plan. I'm referring to the ARERA decision regarding vulnerable customers moving to the SDG service by June 30th, 2025, which would also force HERA to take on a part of customers which they do not want and which aren't profitable. Can you oppose that decision legally? And what are the numbers of customers we're looking at based on the lots and based on the cities that you manage? And I'll leave it at that for the time being. Thank you. Thank you, Emanuele. Let me begin with your last question. The decision you were referring to is based on a government provision allowing certain customers to go into the SDG market. Let me begin by giving you an idea of the size of the entity we're dealing with. When last year we had the
hurry up. We had to hurry up to promote moving on to the SDG market in the first 6 months following the tender and actually moving to that market. Over that period, the effects were almost invisible. So this is a very low impact on the market. So that's the first thing I wanted to mention. Of course, from another point of view, those who do move, customers who are especially knowledgeable, and were we to have a couple of thousand customers more than we already have, we don't expect any changes. In fact, we're not sorry about that. They would have a lower period in the SDG market with a lower investment.
Di passaggio successivo a libero, ovviamente.
They would then move to the free market for the same amount of time. So I don't see any major problems from that point of view. It would simply be a one-year difference. They would reduce by 40% the investment we would have to make to take that customer over. So in terms of size, in terms of effects, we're not especially concerned. But of course, we'll be answering following their consultation request, and we'll see whether or not something will be needed. But again, we're not concerned in terms of size, in terms of entity, and we're looking at customers that will require a lower investment level. So we feel that may even end up being interesting. Your question regarding slide 16. The SDG market contribution.
La colonnetta 16, scusami, grazie. La colonnetta
slide 16. Now that column also includes commercial development dynamics. Now, consider that the SDG tariff is guaranteed up to April or March 31st, 2027. From then on, customers would automatically move to free market offers that we have already set up. In a context in which that kind of market would no longer exist. So, for those customers who will still be there, and who will not have moved to other suppliers, or who will not yet have accepted a free market offer, you would see that what we're already seeing is that the customers, given the increase in prices, are already choosing fixed price tariffs because the volatility market is the volatile market is something they're already concerned with. So they're already choosing some of these offers. Given the current volatility level, we also have offers that have a part of the tariff which is fixed and part which is variable. So it's a hybrid solution. Hedge them from risk. So that's one part of the effect. The other part of the effect is linked to the fact that we'll be seeing certain degrees of market dynamics. Therefore, we'll be replacing some customers who will have left us due to the churn rate. Others will have acquired from the market. So all in all, all of this leads to the growth driver. The churn is lower.
Riservato il numero e quindi.
But since we're managing those customers, those figures are sensitive. So let's just let me just say that we're doing better than expected. Moving on to your question on WACC or on value creation. Let's move to page 12, which is the page on ROI.
Vediamo sostanzialmente rispetto al vecchio piano. O meglio, rispetto
compared to the previous,
la crescita
compared to the current business plan, che,
avviene sia sul mondo delle reti
the growth of WAC happens both in the networks business and in the waste business, because we're considering 2023. So if your question is the difference between 2023 and 2028, obviously we're seeing an increase in these contributions, which are linked for the most part to networks, to waste, and to waste treatment. Compared to 2023, when it comes to energy, we did not make the adjustment compared to the last resort market. So we don't have any contribution in 2028, whereas in 2023 we had part of that contribution. And therefore the decrease you're seeing is linked to that. But of course, the largest part of the growth is linked to the growth drivers on margins that Orazio was mentioning earlier, which allows to move from 10.3 to 13.7. And that's just algebra and the business mix. The important thing to note here is that our businesses are solid, they're very concrete, and we have a number of initiatives which may be even small, therefore there is no single major risk we're facing. Nothing that could undermine our targets, because we have a very broad business portfolio. And what we've always seen over the years is that we tend to be either in line or above our expectations. So as far as our performance dynamics are concerned, they're very solid, and it's a very solid foundation that we'll be building on. Thank you, very clear, thank you. The next question is by Javier Suarez, Mediobanca.
Salve, buonasera a tutti.
Good afternoon, everybody. I also have a few questions for you. My first question refers to a concept. This is the business plan
in which you no longer
consider the last resort tenders. You've eliminated them. But I'm sure the company doesn't really mean that there are no opportunities in that sector. So what are the implications behind this different growth model? Because that will have some implications below EBITDA, even when it comes to provisioning policy and financial expenses, they will have to be lower. Lower leverage, lower factoring. So I'd like to understand from you
how
can this new business model speed up the growth at the bottom line and even lay the foundations for a multiple expansion? Because if the EBITDA multiple, if the underlying EBITDA multiple is more stable compared to the last resort tender's contribution, that could lead to a multiple expansion or an EPS enhancement, if I'm not mistaken. The second thing I'm very interested in is a follow-up to the previous question. The SDG market, slide 17.
La domanda, capisco che è un tema abbastanza sensibile.
I understand that this is a sensitive topic, and let's see what you can share with us, but I'd like to understand what is the negative contribution of these new customers in 2025 and 2026, and what may be the positive contribution beginning the 1st of April 2027? Just some rough numbers, maybe. And out of this 1 million customers, how many do you think you'll be able to retain? In slide 15, there seems to be a fairly large number of customers who will be leaving you or who you'll be letting go. Second question is a more structural question regarding the company. Your leverage, you say, is below your optimal level.
Mettete una linea su 3,3 volte nella slide numero 13.
Your threshold is 3.3 times.
Come intendete utilizzare questa linea?
I was wondering, how do you expect to use this these further financial possibilities? I saw your evaluation criteria when it comes to M&A. And M&A, are you? Do you think you'll be focusing on waste management treatment, on your assets, or do you also see opportunities in other sectors?
We saw
the provisions in the budget law for 2025 regarding electricity concessions. Do you think in the future the company will move more towards a 3x leverage for M&A, for other opportunities? Is that also a way of reducing the cost of capital and to improve returns? And my very last question refers to the annex in your presentation, your financial targets by division, waste, electricity, gas, and water. Basically, the growth of water and waste stands at 6-7% of EBITDA. Electricity is higher, gas is lower. I assume this is connected to the expiry of the last of the Maggior Tutela customers. The gas is much weaker compared to the end of 2024. Thank you.
Stavo parlando a microfono spento, quindi ricomincio. Dico,
I have started answering with my mic turned off, so let me start over. Let me look at.
L'ho presa tutta, poi eventualmente possiamo integrare.
Your questions. Allora,
noi prudenzialmente mettiamo sull'asset slot market, diciamo, sterilizziamo il contributo.
To be cautious, on the last resort market we sterilize the contribution because those refer to two tenders which happen every 2 years. So currently we have visibility for the next 2 years, up to September for gas, because in September we'll have the tender for the upcoming 2 years. Now, in the business plan, we scrapped the contribution. And that's something we already did last year. Now, of course, we make a bid in these tenders because that's a profitable market. And obviously, by removing that, we remove a part of the profitability. Then when it comes to the structure of our businesses, of course, this does have an impact line by line. It reduces provisions. It partly reduces our financial burden. That refers to the line-by-line approach. But then what we do is we obviously offset that with the businesses that grow. That doesn't mean that we will no longer be making a bid in the tenders, but our approach will be the one we've always had. If these tenders will be an opportunity, we'll try to win them. So that we can take advantage of that opportunity, but it's not something that we can guarantee. That's why we don't include those figures in the business plan.
I'm
not sure I understood your question regarding the multiples. If you could please repeat that. I was taking notes on your first question, and I missed a part of it. Your second question, can you repeat that? The second question refers to slide 17.
Avevo frainteso. 17 era quella dell'STG.
The question on STG.
Impattante, insomma, la risposta, nel senso che entriamo un po' nel dettaglio
di dimensioni. Allora, we're looking at some details, some figures. These are sensitive information. So when it comes to number dynamics, I'm not going to go into commercial dynamics, commercial trends, because compared to last year, where we were expecting the loss of 500,000 customers, as Emanuele was mentioning, now we're looking at a smaller number. And I don't want to give you the exact figure. As far as the impact on margins is concerned,
la dimensione di margine che avremo,
of course, the margin dimension we'll be having at the end of the period is consistent with what we have with our other customers, because our offers are similar. Again, I don't want to be too specific, but I think that consistency is important. And the negative impact we have is linked to the average discount per customers that you're familiar with. It's roughly 70 euros.
Ma che avete visto, abbiamo già completamente,
and as you've already seen, in 2024, we recovered that in our numbers, and it's something we'll continue to do in 2025 and 2026.
La crescita che abbiamo sul,
so the growth we have on our organic portfolio
in questa futura crescita
is something we're investing in the future growth we'll be obtaining. Of course, as you know, this 1 million customers we obtained, a part of whom will stay on with us, had no acquisition costs. So we did not include the acquisition costs of that portfolio, and we offer a few euros per month to these customers to get them to stay with us, and that contributes to customer loyalty. And of course, on April 1st, those customers will have to choose whether or not they want to stay on with a supplier that they like. We'll be giving some tailor-made offers to our customers, very specific offers for these customers, taking their history, their characteristics, and their consumption models into account.
Focalizzate o un altro fornitore con un'altra offerta.
They'll be very focused, so they can choose to stay on with us, or they can move on to another supplier on the market. They can make that choice every day. April 1st,
noi siamo molto confidenti,
that will be automatic. So we're very confident. Very confident when it comes to that instance. And I was saying earlier, these first 6 months during which we've managed these customers have allowed us to get to know the customer base very well, and we were able to amend our targets to improve them. As far as the leverage is concerned, well, we expanded it to our maximum levels in very specific periods. For example, when we had the Ascopiave transaction, we reached 3.3 times net debt to EBITDA. The same happened during the energy crisis, 3.3 times. And it's a level we can reach. Then, of course, we have to reduce it, but the cash flow brought about by the transactions will help us, which is exactly what happened with Ascopiave and with the energy crisis. So we do have some flexibility there, and how we'll be investing that money is by applying the rules we've always had. We want to focus on transactions that can be value creative. And if we want to create value, we need to be able to pay the right amount of money, and we have to be able to obtain synergies. The businesses we operate in are three macro areas, basically. We have the multi-utility approach, like IMAG. In that case, it's a company with a portfolio similar to ours. And then we have the two liberalized businesses we looked at, which are waste and energy. And as far as these two businesses are concerned, we have always focused on M&A. These are the areas that we're also growing in commercially and in terms of our asset base. And then, even more specific, we can look to broaden our current businesses, or we can enter new market segments, which is what we did for Aliplast and ACR, with new products, or even when it comes to Est Energy. We enter new market segments in terms of new territories, new parts of the country. But again, our ultimate goal is to create value through the synergies we can obtain, through cost efficiency, through development efficiency. So that's the the criteria we use when we allocate our money. And then you had a final question on pages 27 to 30 in the annex. Can you explain to us why is the growth in gas so low compared to electricity?
Incremento percentuale simile dovrebbe essere giustificato per la parte.
So the reason why that is that we no longer have the set contribution. It's not adjusted, therefore we don't have the contribution that we started with for SEB. If we were to remove that and adjust the figures for 2023, obviously the number would be different, and we would have a stronger growth.
Dimensione 100 milioni, e poi c'è anche tutto il tema del
100 million roughly, and then we also have the topic of the last resort market, which on the energy side of things is offset by the growth of the free market. When it comes to gas, we don't have an increase in our customers. If that makes organic growth incapable of offsetting these two extraordinary events. If that's what I wanted to underline, the organic growth and the commercial activity is more focused on the electricity business. Is that right? It is right. It's part of what we were saying. Since our growth is linked to the number of customers, the major growth we've had there is in the energy customers, and therefore growth is more focused on energy, on electricity. That's another type of activity we're focusing on. What I mean by that is that by making the acquisition of these energy customers, for the very first time, we have changed the size of their portfolio, basically. Until June, we were more focused on gas customers, whereas as of July 1st, we have more electricity customers, 2.4 million compared to 2.1 million gas customers at the end of the business plan. If you remember, when we started, we have 700,000 customers and only 30,000 were electricity customers. Thank you very much.
La prossima domanda è di Francesco Sala.
The next question is Francesco Sala, Banca Akros.
Sì, buonasera a tutti, grazie per la presentazione.
Good afternoon, and thank you for your presentation, and thank you for giving us an opportunity for some Q&A. I have three questions. The first is on slide 20, which shows the evolution of the water RAB.
Quindi mi domandavo se nella diciamo questo contributo di 240 milioni di euro,
240 million euro contribution from IMAG, is that included in the M&A you had already included in your business plan targets?
sia particolarmente influenzata dalla
evolution of the water rab, especially influenced by the M&A you had included in the business plan targets.
La seconda è
my second question of the net working capital. There are some 200 million euros
di effetto cassa nell'arco del piano,
cash effects during the business plan period. How is this going to be modulated over the business plan period? Can we divide by that number by the number of years? Will there be any acceleration or decelerations at the beginning or at the end of the business plan? The third question is on the supply business. Your targets show where you're headed, but what are the margin evolutions, especially in electricity in 2025 and 2026? Also, given the graph you showed us regarding the costs of the maggior tutela market.
Okay. Vado sul tema del working capital di pagina 1. In realtà,
let me begin with the working capital question, page 1. It's not just working capital, it also includes some other effects.
Un effetto puntuale, è un effetto lineare nell'ambito del piano complessivo.
Something we see very linearly, very generally during the throughout the business plan.
Dinamiche diversificate, ma diciamo che non hanno singola ricerca nell'ambito
some diversified effects, but they don't have any specific elements during the business plan. As far as the supply business is concerned,
trascuriamo l'effetto della dinamica.
If we don't consider the effects of the last resort market, margins are stable. And they are growing compared to 2023.
Tolte gli effetti straordinari sulla parte organica.
Minus the extraordinary effects on the organic side of things, there are no. There isn't anything special, except for larger growth levels, which will be happening after April 1st, 2027. I hope that's clear.
Anche rispetto al tema che poneva prima Javier, è legato.
As Javier was saying earlier, the only issue there would be that the last resort markets are quite sizable. So if we remove the effects of condominiums at these markets, the underlying market is quite linear, as I was saying earlier. Through organic development of the normal market, basically we are
di minor margine che arriverà sull'STG.
Offsetting the lower margins we'll be getting from the STG market. A significant part of the margins we're seeing, the one linked to shaping costs, is already up and running. Already in 2024, we were able to recover a sizable part of that benefit. Your other question was on RAB. I'm not sure I understood correctly. Did you, Orazio? Well, if I understood correctly, your question refers to page 20.
Che rappresenta un po' le dinamiche della RAB e se in questa
referring to
nella
RAB dynamics.
C'è o meno anche la RAB di IMAG, no?
Esattamente. You were asking if the water RAB already includes the IMAG RAB.
Quindi la RAB, quindi 2 miliardi e 6 che sono, possiamo andare quella 21, scusate?
So we're looking at the slide on page 21. The 2.6 billion RAB you see on the left-hand side also includes the IMAG RAB, which is worth roughly or slightly more than 150 million.
Grazie.
Thank you.
La prossima domanda Scusate. La prossima domanda è di Davide
Candela. The next question is by Davide Candela, Banca Intesa San Paolo.
Sì, buonasera anche da parte mia, grazie per la presentazione.
Thank you for the presentation, thank you for taking our questions. I have three questions. The first is on the gas market context we're seeing currently. With higher prices compared to what we saw last year, and the volume demand, especially in retail, which is stable, what are your initiatives? Are they extraordinary compared to last year or compared to the last 18 months as a way of dealing with any possible criticalities?
Legato al mondo retail,
then,
se potete darci una visione di quelli
along
che sono
this line and regarding the retail world, can you give us an idea of the volume dynamics gas and power on a like-for-like basis? Do you expect a stable gas demand and an increase in power demand, or are there different dynamics?
Then
I have another question.
Mi risulta che abbiate vinto
on energy supply. From what I know, you have won some last resort markets in the electricity market. This is contribution that you'll be seeing in 2025. And the gas will expire in September. Another question on energy supply, more on M&A, more on your approach to M&A.
Going
back to your bid on Ascopiave customers, compared to then, has your approach changed? Is it more risky to bid on certain customers at certain prices, considering the fact that they could move to another supplier? But compared to the past, since you've achieved a different scale, are you focusing more on organic growth rather than external opportunities? Not considering IMAG. Well, the market context, we're looking at prices which stand at 50 cents, nothing we should be too concerned about. We had to be worried when the prices were 350 euros per megawatt hour in August 2022. That was worrisome, since they had an effect on the energy sector. The market structure has changed. In the past, we had
most
of European procurement arrived through pipelines with prices that were very well-defined, with well-defined structures, whereas currently,
GNL,
supplies come in with LNG,
quindi questo comporta una maggiore volatilità dei prezzi.
And that implies higher price volatility. In the past, you have the American, the European, and the Asian markets, which were decoupled with significant price differences. That's because there was no correlation, there was no sizable presence of LNG. Now all that has changed, that amount has increased, and therefore that leads to higher volatility. But still, the volatility levels we're seeing are worth a few euros per megawatt hour over the weeks.
Che considero fisiologici in questa nuova situazione. Sul livello dei prezzi l'anno scorso
still fairly normal. Abbiamo avuto un inverno. As far as prices are concerned, last year's winter was warm, very warm in fact.
Persistenza di gas in stoccaggio consistente, quindi.
And therefore we're able to have some extra levels of gas in our storage facilities.
Una situazione nella quale questi stoccaggi sarebbero rimasti in maniera considerevolmente piena rispetto
alle
di fine stagione di erogazione e quindi si
would stay full at the end of the service at the end of the thermal season. Therefore,
abbassando già i prezzi spot per
cercare going forward, the market was already looking to reduce the spot prices.
Sono
Currently, the supplies are being used a little bit more. In Italy, we currently stand at 56% capacity compared to 51% last year. In Europe, the capacity of the supply or the storage facilities have been reduced. It's a little bit more visible. It's nothing to be concerned with. But given a high degree of offer of supply, the price levels have changed.
Yeah,
that's something visible compared to last year. What happens on volumes, though, is that customers are consuming slightly more because this year's winter is slightly colder compared to last year. Over the past two winters, the fact that we had very warm winters was an advantage as far as the energy crisis was concerned. But again, they were two extraordinarily warm years. As far as the business plan is concerned, our forecast, above and beyond the change in volumes in terms of mix, we operate in different segments, and therefore our positioning on the various segments can change volume dynamics. And even leaving the last resort market is something that we have included in the figures, and which imply reduction in volumes compared to current figures. But if we look at things on a segment-by-segment basis, is, for example, what we've done is we've envisaged a contraction in gas volumes, also linked to climate effects, with mild temperatures during the winter, so we're expecting a reduction there. But at the same time, we haven't included any visible effects when it comes to our electricity customers, especially the retail customers. So those are the dynamics for individual customers. As far as the last resort markets are concerned, yes, we said that we didn't include the effects of future tenders, although, of course, we have included the effects of those tenders that we expect to be awarded, the tenders that we have been awarded. So 2 years for the electricity tenders and all the way up to September
del gas.
For gas.
Sul tema clienti Ascopiave,
as far as the Ascopiave customers are concerned and past M&A transactions, well, at the time we evaluated those customers, and our assessment was based on some various business plan hypotheses. And despite COVID, despite the energy crisis, we are overperforming our hypotheses at the time. As far as the future is concerned or any other initiatives, basically, every deal has its own specificities. Every customer base has its specific characteristics in terms of churn rate, in terms of customer loyalty, in terms of reliability, in terms of
quello che abbiamo fatto nella valutazione di IMAG è insomma valutare questi parametri in funzione proprio delle caratteristiche di quella base clienti, che comunque è una base clienti molto fidelizzata, perché il loro modello è un modello territoriale molto simile al nostro, e quindi anche perché poi nella compagine azionaria da 15 anni un po' di
when it comes to IMAG, we have had a stake in the company for the past 15 years now. We're in the same part of the country, and therefore their customers are similar to ours, and we're very familiar with the dynamics they have. And I think that answers all your questions. Yes, thank you.
Bene, direi che non ci sono altre domande, per cui
there are no other questions apparently. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. Of course, our investor relations office and Jens are available for any further questions you may have. And have a wonderful evening. And all the very best. In fact, we do have a follow-up question from Emanuela Gioni, Kepler Chevreux. Over to you, Emanuela. I couldn't hear you, so I thought there were no further questions. Yes, apologies. If I may, I have a couple other questions for you. Very quick questions.
IMAG,
one question refers to IMAG and the business plan. You included your expectations without synergies, but based on your track record and extracting synergies
in aree contigue, anzi nella vostra core area di riferimento.
Since they operate in your traditional territory,
a tendere diciamo verso i 100 milioni di EBITDA, incluso le sinergie, a
100 million euros in EBITDA by 2028. So that's the first question. And the second question is a follow-up on acquisitions and any interest you may have.
Ci sono dei pacchetti in vendita di clienti, ad esempio di recente pubblicizzato quello di un milione di clienti.
Buying customers, NG, 1 million customers are on sale.
30% su
70% on gas and 30% on electricity. There are other portfolios which are for sale,
che immagino probabilmente avete già vagliato,
which you must have already assessed.
Senza fare nome, se avete sempre interesse.
Without mentioning any names, are you still interested in making the acquisition of individual portfolios and not just entire multi-utilities as we saw for IMAG? And if I may, one final question on waste. You were mentioning that you expect a 5% increase in volumes, but I imagine
attesa di crescita organica.
That growth refers to your organic growth expectations. Or may that also stem from so many possible acquisitions. But my question is, what is the underlying trend for your market? What kind of trends do you expect for volumes and prices in your traditional markets for waste?
Capacità di treatment,
with the same treatment capacity, with the same waste management capacity.
Allora, parto dalle sinergie di IMAG.
So let me begin with the synergies and IMAG. What best possible conditions to extract synergies, as I said, and we are familiar with them. But of course, the best assessments will be conducted after the closing. We'll be going into the specifics regarding each individual business. Traditionally, our synergy level is around 30% of the target of the target company. It's fairly easy to do the math. So that's some 20 million euros, 77 plus 20. It's fairly close to that number.
Poi, come ho anticipato in apertura,
as I also mentioned earlier, when I talked about this transaction,
un target di M&A generico,
the plan was developed with a generic M&A target,
in parallelo, e quindi
because
poi il closing lo faremo.
The transaction was moving on in a parallel way. We'll be closing the deal before the summer. And then we'll be consolidating the figures line by line, and therefore we'll be more specific on each individual business. As far as
posto prima.
Extracting synergies from M&A. I answered that question earlier when Javier asked. The supply business is a business we operate in. With the approach I was mentioning earlier, our target is to add value.
Crescita o in segmenti o in attività che abbiamo fatto su questo
through
momento
growth, in segments and businesses that we're already in in that segment we made the acquisition of companies which weren't very large in recent years, but they did give us a boost in terms of value-added services. So we're talking about companies offering services of installing PV panels. And we integrated the value chain. In the past, we used to use contractors, but our firepower and our size, our scale, made us integrate the value chain. In other instances, we bought customer portfolios. So basically, we evaluate things based on what the market has to offer. Then, of course, there's plenty of gossip, plenty of information. As you know, we only share news with you once the deal is done. So for the time being, we'll just say that anything out there is gossip. We have nothing else to add compared to what you already read about in the press. And I'll leave the question on waste to Orazio. Yes, thank you, Christian. Thank you, Emanuele. As far as waste is concerned, our growth is based on three things. We want to increase our market share. We want to focus on commercial development, and we want to look at the numbers regarding volumes. And if we can go to the slide on waste.
Non quella di perfetto. Sicuramente abbiamo una quota di mercato.
Well, we certainly have a market share which is on the rise in terms of volumes. Our commercial development.
Quindi rifiuti commercializzati da 5 milioni.
Allows us to go from 5 million tons to 6.5 million tons of commercial waste. These are the macro figures, basically. And as you can see from the slides here, we have a 5% volumes CAGR. And if we want to break this figure down, the part which moves quicker is, of course, the industry market. And that market CAGR is even higher. And that's what makes us different compared to other utilities who operate in the waste business. We are capable of referring to this important market segment. As I was saying earlier, we have the ability to offer diversified services. Plus, we have a huge asset base, a diversified asset base, thanks to which we can treat any kind of waste and we can deal with any kind of customer. Obviously, we are continuing to invest. We are continuing to develop our assets by reinvesting all of our resources, as we said earlier. And therefore, the more we operate, the more we are able to extract value from this development of ours. And all of the investments that we embedded in the business plan are linked to several initiatives. It's not a single initiative we're working on. As Christian was saying earlier, we're working on very many different projects, from the fourth line in Padua to Feronia to F3, which is the waste energy for hazardous waste. There are very few in Italy, and we have one of them, and it will be up and running this year. We also concluded some M&A transactions, so that's the third axis, M&A. For example, last year, we made the acquisition of TRS, a company allowing us to cover the northwestern part of the country near to Milan. It's a very industrialized part of the country.
It will be fully operational this year, and that platform will be further developed, allowing us to fully exploit our potential in that geographical area, which is very important commercially. It allows us to cover a significant portion of northern Italy, and then we have plenty of other projects that we'll be talking about in the future, because as Christian was saying, although we still haven't announced those operations yet, we have plenty of things in the pipeline. We only make announcements once the deal is done, as he was saying. So rest assured that there are plenty of opportunities to be seized. You also referred to prices. You asked us for an outlook, if I remember correctly.
Vediamo stabilmente alti.
Prices, as far as prices are concerned, they are stable and high. Prices for 2025 are like the ones we had in 2024. We're not seeing a decline because, as we said earlier, as you know, the market is very short. Which means that our outlook is stable. And then recently, the international logistics costs have gone up slightly because activities have gone up in terms of prices, employee costs have gone up. We also have a carbon tax on transports in Europe. And therefore, we don't expect prices to drop. Plus, thanks to our diversified portfolio and thanks to our asset base, we're able to take advantage of the opportunities on the European market, which have a positive impact also on the treatment prices. Prices for Hera Group. Thanks for the details.
Grazie a te.
Thank you.
Ecco, ingegnere, non ci sono altre domande.
Well then, there are no further questions at this point.
Se qualcuno vuole ancora fare un follow-up, è il momento.
If you have any follow-up questions, and now is the time.
Abbiamo recuperato la spignot, quella di Emanuele.
Well, we heard Emanuele's follow-up question at the very last minute.
Saluti li abbiamo già fatto, grazie di nuovo.
No other questions, thanks again, and all the very best.